Okay, but I'm not going to stand here and try to define a bunch of terms and talk about that. The lesson about the armor of God is put it on. Right? If we don't put it on, we're missing what that scripture is teaching us. So you don't have to raise your hand or say anything, but I would ask you the question, how long has it been since you consciously thought about putting on the armor of God?
This morning.
Pardon?
I said this morning.
Okay, great. Would it do us any good to do that? I know that's an obvious answer. It's one of those questions when the preacher asks it, you know, you're obligated to say that, but you need to feel that. The armor of God, what is it there for? I mean, why? It takes up a nice little portion of chapter 6 in the book of Ephesians. It is something that we've heard about perhaps most of our life as far as church services and hearing it preached about. But can we really think about just what it means, what each piece means to us? There you go. For our protection. Do we need protection? There's another obvious answer. Okay, from what? All right. From Satan. Is that all? We carry our closest foe around with us. There's an influence from the world that creeps in and clouds our thinking and draws our heart away. It tries to, at least. You know, isn't that influence just rampant in our culture? You know, we don't watch much TV. You know, if it wasn't for the ball games that I record and then watch later sometime, or sleep through them, like if Sister Nancy would speak up and say. But, you know, even TV is different from when I grew up. Used to be some entertaining things, and I'm sure there still is somewhere, okay? And with Netflix and things like that, you can find those things still. I'm thankful for that. But can you imagine somebody that's just watching all that stuff that's being made nowadays all the time? What's filling their mind and their heart? You know, I'll get off this soapbox real quick here, but can you just imagine what an impact television has had upon the spirituality of this nation? Wow. I mean, if you really stop and think, I'm preaching to the choir. I know. You know that. But it doesn't hurt for us to be reminded that we need protection against the flesh, against this world, and against the devil himself. Because he is as a roaring lion. Not just going about seeing who will pet him, but he's going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour us. He wants to devour our families. He wants to devour our churches. And so as much as we can, we need this armor, don't we? Now, what would it do for you if you went through the mental exercise each day when you first got up, and maybe when you had your prayers and you were getting ready to start your day, and what would it do for you if you went through the mental exercise of putting each piece of armor on? Do you think it might make it more real for you? I think it might register a little bit more. Let's read the verses that speak about this. I'm going to begin in Ephesians 6, and we'll begin in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, there's a week's worth of preaching right there. We're not to lean to our own understanding. We're to trust in the Lord. We're to look to Him for the strength and the power of His might. All right? Be strong in the Lord. Well, He's put us in Christ. Okay? But there's an active component here. There's a practical lesson here of being strong in the Lord, in remembering His teaching, in seeking wisdom of His word, in depending upon the promises that He's made to us and looking to Him for the help that we need. We need that. And so there's a practical aspect here, being strong in the Lord. There are times, there are seasons in our life when we're not as strong in the Lord as maybe we was at another time. Things happen, whatever. And so there, we go through seasons. You know, we got a song in our hymn book, Mixtures of Joy and Sorrow. Life's full of hills and valleys. Sometimes we're rejoicing, sometimes we're weeping. Sometimes we're struggling. Whatever the case might be, you know that Satan is going to come at you when you're at your weakest, when you're at your lowest, when you're at your most discouraged point. He knows exactly what buttons to push. He knows exactly what to do to try to draw us away. And so, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, I heard Elder Marty Smith one time, I think maybe it was at Gulf Coast Fellowship in Panama City, I think it was, how that he spoke about how that we need to respect, not to admire, not to reverence, but to have respect for the power of the devil. Because he does have some power. And we need to respect that and realize that we need the Lord's help against him. Be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. That's where our help is, in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He knows how to tempt us. He knows how to get our attention. He knows where our weaknesses are. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 12, to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. There's two things there that just every one of us has to deal with. We've got our own weaknesses, a sin which does so easily beset us, and we've got those distractions in life that slow us down in this race. And you're going to have that whether Satan's on your case or not. But in addition to that, we have to be aware of the wiles of the devil. We just have to, you know, arm ourselves. You know, arm ourselves with the right mind. And he's given us armor that we can protect ourselves with. All right? So, I'm going to read this and then we'll talk about these different things. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes it would be a whole lot easier if we did to wrestle against flesh and blood. At least you could see your enemy. At least you could learn something about it. And the Bible is, clearly teaches us how to be aware of our enemy and what we need to do. You know, Paul said to the Corinthian brethren, we're not ignorant of his devices. But sometimes we are. Sometimes we're not thinking about it. Sometimes we're not respecting that the fact that we're not as strong as we think we are. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And there's a whole lot of it. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There's your purpose. To stand. To be faithful to God. To be an encourager to others. To have a faithful witness so that we're not a stumbling block to someone else, but that we are strong and we can help others. So that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That's the purpose of all of this, so that we can stand. How do we do that? We started out by saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. His might. How often we come to the place where we realize, I can't do this on my own. Now, I hope we come to that place. Because if we haven't come to that place, we're still trying to do it ourselves. But we're told in the Word of God to be strong in the Lord. You may be very strong, but you're not strong enough. You still need the Lord. So no matter how strong you are, the Apostle Paul's telling us this. The Apostle Paul was strong in the Lord, wasn't he? My goodness. And he endured tremendously for the elect's sake, that the gospel would be preached, that God's people would be blessed to hear the word of God and follow on in it. So no matter how strong we are, we still need this armor of God, every one of us. Stand therefore. See, that point, you can't miss it. He starts out by saying being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And the purpose of this is so that we might be able to stand, and having done all, to stand. And then he says, stand therefore. It's like he doesn't want us to miss that. You know, when the Word of God keeps repeating something, you might as well say, okay, I've got it. Yes. That's the point I need to remember. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith. Sounds important, doesn't it? Above all taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, all of them. Take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he added, and for me also, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. All right, this armor. He's gone through here and listed it. Over in 1 Thessalonians, we find it being mentioned in various ways, not as extensively as it is here, but he talks about the breastplate, he talks about the helmet, armor. We've established that it's important. We've established that we need it. We've established that there's a battle being waged against us. What was Satan's purpose in tempting Adam and Eve? And specifically, beguiling Eve. What did he want to accomplish? Didn't he want them to draw them away from God? Do you think he's changed in the least in what he wants to do? So, there's this, as he goes about seeking whom he may devour, that's still his goal. To get our mind off of God. To get our trust off of God. To draw us away in any way he can. And if he can get a little bitty victory, he'll do it. Because he's coming back for more. If he can just get a toehold... You know, if he can just get a little bit, he's going to keep working. And he knows where our weaknesses are. And he knows what will attract us. He knows. I'm not just telling you something. I'm telling you, he knows. All right? So, realizing, of course, that he knows what our weaknesses are. Realizing, of course, that the scriptures also tell us that we shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. And realizing what Hebrews said, we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You see, we can be our own worst enemy sometimes. We can allow ourselves to be weighted down in this race. We can allow ourselves by our own actions to have something that hinders us in running this Christian race. But it also says there's a sin which does so easily beset us. And Satan knows what that is. And don't you know he can create opportunities for you to stumble with that? Yes, he can. He has power to do that. All right, so this armor that God has given us, this armor that's there for our protection, and this armor which the scripture says, put it on. Then we have to realize we might not. We might leave it in the closet and go about our day. We might leave it behind. We might think we're strong enough to handle it, even though we don't even know what's going to happen throughout our day. Yet we're willing to say, I can handle this. You know, at times. All right? So first thing he talks about then is having your loins girt about with truth. Okay? That was like a belt. A girdle. The Old Testament word, especially in Jeremiah, you read about it, that girdle, and other places where you read about a girdle, it was a belt around the waist. Now, if it's part of the armor, then you can just imagine that there were that belt then would have something to where you could hang things on, like a sword, a dagger, you know, other things that you would need. You could hang it on that, okay? What's interesting that that belt being girt about with what? Truth. The truth is where he starts. Well, let's see. The truth, if he starts with that, that must be the foundation of everything else we're going to need. Foundation. All right? Later on, when he gets to the sword of the Spirit, he's going to call that what? The Word of God. Well, that's very similar to the truth, isn't it? As a matter of fact, it's a portion of the truth. Okay? So when we think about then, that sword would be probably have a place for you to put that sword. Whether it's the larger sword, whether it's the small dagger, whatever. All right? Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All right? So that's part of this truth that we're talking about, this foundation that we're starting with. If we can depend upon this foundation, and bless your hearts, the Word of God is a sure foundation, isn't it? It is a solid, it is the best. If we're talking about building our life, I'm mixing metaphors here, but this foundation of where we start with, if we're going to talk about the foundation for this armor, the starting place, this truth that he tells us, how's that going to help us? How is the truth going to help us in this battle? Well, if you don't have the truth, you're not going to be able to stand. Your strength, see, that belt went around this area here, the place of strength for the body, all right? If you don't have that, you're just not going to have the strength that you need. I mean, we can stand with truth. Maybe you've had the experience, whether it was early in life or whether it was later in life, you tried to put forth something that wasn't the truth, and then If you got caught in it, then you might have had to tell a few more untruths to try to support that. And when you do that, you know what happens. It just gets worse from there, doesn't it? You cannot stand upon a lie. You can't stand upon untruth. But if our goal is to stand, and having done all to stand, we better have the truth. And what God's word has given us is truth. We can depend upon it in any instance that it mentions, any subject matter that it addresses. If it's the word of God, it's truth with regard to that subject. Well, let's see. If that's what we need then to stand, we need to know something about the Word of God, don't we? We need to be studying the Word of God. We need to understand what it says. We need to understand how it applies to us. There are times when the Word of God speaks about eternal things and how wonderful that is, how sweet that is. But it also instructs us in the timely things. And we need that for those day-to-day decisions that we make. Well, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It shows us where we're going. It shows us where we are. It gives us light for the decisions that we need to make for the next step. And it gives us light to make those long-range decisions. That's the Word of God. That's the truth. And as long as we're studying truth, and bless your hearts, if we're studying that truth and we're asking the Lord for wisdom to understand that truth, that is a prayer that He honors. That is a prayer that He will bless. If we're sincerely wanting to know more of His truth, He will bless those that diligently seek Him. So, He starts with truth. Well, where else would you start? I mean, there's no better place to start than the truth of God's Word. You know, if you're trying to talk to somebody about what's right and wrong, and they have no regard for the Word of God, you don't have anything to stand on. All right? And even when you're talking to people about the Bible, and you're depending on the King James, and they've got something else that doesn't even sound like a Bible, you don't have much to stand on. See, it's important. And God has promised in His Word He's going to preserve this Word for us. He tells us His Word is pure. It's going to be preserved. I mean, listen, that's what we need. That's what we have to have in order to stand. So that's where we start. Can you stand upon the Word of God? Another one of those obvious answers, but I'm asking it to get you to think about it. Can you stand upon the Word of God? You see, this world is making it increasingly more difficult. Now, we need to live according to it, but the prevailing opinions have gone so far astray, and for generations now, it's been that way. Now, I know that you go way back, and you know, I know my daddy, when I was, you know, 40 years ago, I can remember my daddy saying, "I don't know what this world's coming to." And I'm sure his daddy said it 40 or 60 years before that, "I don't know what this world's coming to." But I mean, just the principles of the family and morality, those kind of things, there's just generations that have just, that worldly thinking has crept into their minds and in their hearts and has drawn them away from the Word of God. If we don't have the truth, we cannot stand. We need it. We need it. Having your loins girded about with truth by remembering God's Word and following its teaching. It's one thing to know it. It's another to be able to apply it to our life, which means we've got to make some decisions based upon that Word. And so we need to know it. We need to know how to apply it. And the light's not going to shine from us until we're living it. And that's what we need in this dark and unfriendly world, isn't it? We need to be living it, letting that light shine through from every decision we make. Every footstep we take, All those things are necessary that our light shine and shine brightly. When Jesus was about to go away, just before he went to the cross, remember John 14? You remember John 14. And he speaks about, I go to prepare a place for you. I love that passage. I'm so thankful that God didn't leave it for us to finish. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, well, he went. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. I love that promise, don't you? And then he begins to tell his disciples he's going away. And, you know, one of them, who was it? Philip talked about, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. He said, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and have you not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And what he's talking about there is that Jesus is the Word that was made flesh. And in every respect, Jesus exemplified the truth of God. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Everything he ever said, everything he ever did, every decision he ever made was an exact display and manifestation of the will of the Father. He said, I do always those things which please him. But then he went on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It grieves my heart whenever I'm talking to somebody and they think there's more than one way to get to God. Doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, Muslim. Doesn't matter, you know, whatever. There's lots of ways to get to God. Well, you either believe the Word of God, which says Jesus is the only way, or you don't. If you don't believe Jesus, it doesn't matter what you believe. Now, careful about, hear what I said. If you don't believe Jesus, it really doesn't matter what else you believe. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He was the truth that God had been speaking of as he sent through the prophets. And through the Word of God, we find that it was that way from before the foundation of the world. Jesus was a manifestation of that will. Jesus finished that work. Bless your hearts. We are secure in him. We are redeemed in him. We are reconciled to God in him. And he's coming back to get us. The truth. The truth. That's where our strength is. That's the only strength we have. As far as speaking with others about what's right or wrong, it's this truth. And this is the definitive truth. And the King James. We're living in a day where there's a lot of good folks that aren't convinced that the King James is the Bible you need to be reading. Well, I am. And the longer I've studied it and the more I've learned about it, the more I've firmly convinced that the King James is what we need to be reading. Truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. Then he says the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? What does that mean for us? How does that protect us? What kind of armor is that? You know, the breastplate was a very important piece of armor, wasn't it? I mean, if they could get a blow to that part of your body that's unprotected, then they could take you out. That's why we need to guard our heart. That's why we need to be careful about where our affections are placed. That's why we have to be careful about our priorities. Because we need to guard our heart. Who loves you the most of all? That's an easy answer. So who should we love most of all? I mean, if you love somebody, don't, if you love somebody, if they're the chiefest, if they're receiving the chiefest of your affections in this life, don't you want them to return that love? I mean, we can understand that on the natural plane. Well, God's done far more, infinitely more for us than we've ever done for anybody in this world. And he's worthy. He's absolutely worthy. You know, any person that we, in this life that we love, you know, they're just human. They have their flaws. They have their weaknesses. But not Jesus. Oh, he had a body. He was man. But he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. There was no sin about him. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's where we're going with this breastplate of righteousness. He's made us righteous. So if you imagine putting on this armor in the morning and putting on that breastplate, and you feel it right there, right near your heart, think of what Jesus has done for us. He's made us righteous. He's made us where we can stand before God. He's reconciled us of all of our faults and all of our failures and all of our sins. Jesus put them away. We can stand redeemed, reconciled, righteous, and justified, just if I'd never sinned, because of what Jesus has done for us. Doesn't that warm your heart when you think about it? Can you imagine that old breastplate resting there upon your chest, and you just feel it there, and it makes you feel secure? Knows that it protects you against so much. Well, listen, we don't know what we're ever going to face in this world. You know, crazy things keep happening every day. You know, something could happen where we are. You know, a bomb could explode, or somebody could start shooting, or whatever. I mean, we may not even be around tomorrow. We don't know. But this we do know. If Jesus died for us, we'll awake in his presence, and someday we'll be in the presence of all the redeemed family of God because of the righteousness that's imputed to us, what Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary. So if you go through that mental exercise of putting on this armor in the mornings, and just so that it reminds you of just what it is and the protection that we need, just think about putting that breastplate on and just feel how it's protecting your heart, protecting your life, preserving you. Because that's what Jesus has done for us. He has saved us from our sins. And we've been made righteous by the blood of Christ. Because of that, well, part of what he's done is given us the victory, right? We sang about it a while ago. He's given us the victory. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. He didn't offer it. We wouldn't have sense enough to receive it if he did, you know. Oh, but thankfully he gave it to us. He giveth us the victory. And it's given to those that were chosen in him for the foundation of the world. Jesus knew who he was saving. So he giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, as we think about it, because of his sacrifice. I hope we think about that every day. Because of his sacrifice, what he did for us. Bless your hearts. We'll be with him in glory forever. This place is coming to an end. That place will know no end. How wonderful. But what God has done for us will never end. And as we keep saying, the best is yet to come. As much as we can enjoy this life and the relationships that we have and the blessings that we have to enjoy and the prospects of another day and whatever we might accomplish in that and the things that we can enjoy, as wonderful as that can be, the best is still yet to come. And when it comes, it'll have no end. So he's taking care of that, but he's also given us armor for each day we live. Breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's what reconciliation is all about. He's reconciled us through the death of Jesus, through the shed blood. Bless your hearts, he's redeemed us. Peace has been made between us and God. When sin entered into the world, death came by sin. You know, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our feet shod. When you go through that mental exercise, if you choose to do that and you shod your feet with something to get ready to start your walk, to walk out for the day, what's the preparation that you need? You need to be reminded the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, when Jesus was born, the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. And there's been wars and rumors of wars and trouble and sorrows and heartaches ever since. How could that be true? Because the peace that Jesus brought was peace between God and his people. And if we can remember that each day, then we can prepare our walk. Each footstep that we make, if we remember the peace that we have with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need that. Is there something else that somebody can think of that it means to you? The preparation of the gospel of peace? All right. There you go. Getting back to that word then. We need that knowledge of the word if we're going to have that preparation. You know? Preparation. Boy, that's a good word to think about when we get ready to go to church, isn't it? I believe I heard somebody say that some time ago. Preparation. Preparing our heart. Preparing our mind. Not just when we go to church, but every day. To help us as we start out our day, you know, in some respect, whether it's a little bit or a lot, whatever we have the opportunity to do, if we're seeking to know more about the Word of God, and it's amazing how God can take His Word and apply it to your own situation that you're going through at that particular time. It's amazing how often that happens. You know, you think the Bible is just full of diverse subjects, and it is. And then in one subject, it's not all contained in one chapter, so that you can study about that subject. It's just interlaced with all the things that we need to know, but the Spirit can take that word and apply it to your situation so easily. It gives you peace, that's right. When He blesses you to see principle in His Word, that helps you, then you realize, oh, the Lord's with us. He's watching over us. He's providing. He's giving us. And those kind of experiences is kind of like the manna in the wilderness. It feeds our soul. We need it. That's why sometimes we're so hungry for the things of God. And we have to be careful about that. If we are, we need to attend to reading, praying, asking Him for understanding, because that's a slippery slope. If you ignore it, you're going to start losing your appetite, because the world's going to start crowding in and choking out the effect of the Word. It can happen so quickly. Oh, but the preparation. Feet shod. When you get ready to walk, it's going to help your walk throughout the day. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Not just the preparation of the gospel, but the gospel of peace. The peace that we have with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, That's the good news. That there's peace with God. Because we're still sinners. We still come short. We still make poor choices sometimes. Oh, but there's mercy. If we come to Him, confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He does it for Jesus' sake. Not because we're so good. He does it for Jesus' sake. Preparation, the gospel of peace. Shield of faith. How important is that? If I was on the... Pardon? There you go. That settled it, didn't it? If I was on the battlefield, I think I'd want a shield. In the setting that we're talking about here, where, you know, it's hand-to-hand, and that's why those soldiers, you know, boy, they were strong. They exercised. They kept in shape. They were strong. They had a lot of stamina, all right? But they needed that shield. To do what? Yeah, it's all armor, isn't it? To quench all. Don't skip over that word. All the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, when you stumble, do something you shouldn't have, think something you shouldn't have, feel towards somebody like you shouldn't do, when we stumble and we realize it, sometimes we realize Satan got us again. It stings. It hurts. Maybe somebody does us wrong. Maybe we misunderstand something. Whatever the case might be, there's all kinds of hurts that come upon us in this life. But some of it, if we'll remember to hold up that shield of faith, if we'll hold it up and give it to the Lord. Lord, I know You could deal with this. You're the revenger, not me. Give it to Him. Quench the fiery darts through faith. Let the Lord deal with it. He knows how. He can do it. And you do it at the right time. A shield of faith. Sometimes there's discouragement. Sometimes there's offenses. Sometimes there's just all kinds of things that come against us. But that faith... faith, so important to quench, you know, not just to deflect, but to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. See, He wants to devour us. He doesn't want to just slow us down. He'll take what He can get. He wants to devour us. He wants to derail our discipleship. He wants to tear up our families. He wants to cause us to make shipwreck of our faith. You know that can happen. It can happen. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you may quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The way that's worded, we need to be careful to guard our faith and hold it up. Hold it up. Quench those fiery darts. You know, this is just not automatic. We have to think about these things. We have to be reminded of these things. We have to apply this to our daily lives. You know, I've been hit by some of those fiery darts and realized I didn't have my shield up. It hurts, doesn't it? And see, if you don't have your shield up, then when that comes, you might even receive it in the wrong way. You might react in a bad way. You know, when people are down spiritually, they're not on their best behavior. So it's just so important. So important, so much we need for our protection every day. There's not a day that passes that we don't need this. Okay? Even though we know it, even though you could quote it, all these verses, even if you can quote them, if you don't think about it, we're letting our guard down. We're letting our shield down. We're not preparing like we should. We're not standing on the truth like we should. We're not remembering the righteousness that we have is through our Lord Jesus Christ, and He deserves all of our affections and the chiefest of them. And take the helmet of salvation. It's amazing how God has made us. It's amazing He's given us memories. You ever thank the Lord for memories? Now, there's some of them you want to forget, I'm sure. But you know, when our loved ones pass the scene of this life, isn't it precious that we can remember the good times, times that we had together? A long time ago, I lost my brother next to me, just like that. He died of a heart attack. Gosh, I thought we'd have all our life to share and talk about. Some of you lost loved ones like that. We just never know. Just never know. But when we remember salvation, when you go through that mental exercise of putting on that helmet, think about feeling it and what it represents. Helmet of salvation. When we can remember, it saves us. When we can remember we're saved, that saves us. Right? Okay? Some folks will look at you kind of strange when you say that, but when we understand what the Bible teaches, when we understand that Jesus saved us on the cross, though we were safe from the foundation of the world, yet He did what was necessary to finish the legal work of what God purposed to do in saving us from our sins when He shed His precious blood. But we still need that saving influence of remembering His word, standing upon His word, that preparation of the gospel of peace that helps us and helps us to walk better. All these things that is spoken of here in this armor, we need to remember it, don't we? Now what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory." Well, if you don't keep it in memory, it's not going to have the saving influence upon you, is it? The saved need saving every day. Not that we keep falling out of heaven, but that we need to have that good influence to overcome the temptations, to overcome all the things, to hold up the shield of faith, to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, all that. We need it every day. We need it. Helmet of salvation. We need to guard our thinking, don't we? Oh, there's so many things in this world, just like that. You put a bad thought in your mind or get your attention off of where it needs to be. We need it. I can't impress upon you enough how much we need this armor every day. And just because you did a good job of putting it on yesterday doesn't mean that's going to carry over. It might have some carryover effect, but it's something we need to remember to do every day. Helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Sword. You can use a sword to defend yourself. Jesus used that sword, didn't He? Against Satan. When Satan was tempting Him. Now, thankfully, we understand Satan wasn't going to get anywhere with our Lord. But he tried. He tried. And what did Jesus do? What is the first line of defense when Satan tempts us? You know, Eve repeated God's word. when she was tempted. And if she'd have just stopped right there, now I realize that's speculating and it didn't happen that way, but if she'd have stopped right there, that would have been good. But then she looked, and her eyes caused her to begin to think about. And the seed of doubt had been planted. Yea, hath God said? For God doth know that when you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Oh, we want to be like gods, don't we? She looked. She forgot the word of God. She began to follow her eyes, and she partook of the fruit that she shouldn't have. Gave to Adam, he did eat. Sword of the Spirit. If you could think back over temptations you've given into, you could probably think of a scripture that could have kept you or would have helped you to think better about it. If it was a sin, I'm sure there was a scripture that would have helped you. But when we forget the Word of God, when we don't use the sword like we should to defend ourselves, we get into trouble. It's the armor He's given us to help us, to keep us. All right? Thankfully, we're kept eternally. Thankfully, we can never fall out of His grace forever. Now, we can fail of the grace of God. We can stumble in this life and have to confess our sins, but thankfully, we're eternally preserved in Christ. But we need to be using that sword of the Spirit. Not only to defend ourselves, bless your hearts, we need that to advance. We need that to grow. We need that to help us. So, and the more you can arm yourself with the Word of God, the better off you're going to be as you go out and face the temptations of your day. So needful. And when you're trying to use the sword of the Spirit, God will help you and will bless you with even more understanding of it, because He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I mean, brethren, it's a win-win situation. He has saved us, and it's pleasing to Him to help us every day we live if we're just seeking His face. Now, I'm not saying you won't have any problems. I'm not saying you won't have trials. I'm saying it'll be better off with you if you're seeking His face and trying to do what's pleasing unto Him. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need that Word. And then he goes on to say, praying always in the Spirit. Elsewhere in Scripture, it says, pray without ceasing. Have we gotten there yet? Have we gotten to the point where we can say that we're praying without ceasing? Well, I'll say there's times when it's a whole lot, we feel the urgency a whole lot more than others. When you're under a constant trial, you'll be more constant in prayer. Had a sister teach me a long time ago a tremendous lesson about praying without ceasing. And I haven't forgotten that lesson. I need to have learned it better than I have, but I mean, she taught me a lot. She was under a tremendous trial, and it was something that she had to attend to every day, and it was more than her physical strength would allow her to do. And she said, when you're under that, you know, you'll learn something about praying without ceasing. Those trials and afflictions and burdens, when you are made to realize you don't have the strength you need, but God does. Bless your hearts. then we're more instant in prayer. We're more constant in prayer. But he says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication. Praying always in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. You know, there's plenty of things that we need to pray about every day. Just in general. We need to pray for God's help. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for many things every day. But supplication is when you lift up specific, particular needs that your brethren or that you, perhaps you have or your family, whoever it is, you're lifting up a specific and a particular need. That's when you're offering up supplications. And we need to be doing that. As a matter of fact, I'm of the opinion we need to do more of that than we do praying for ourselves. And I suspect that a lot of us are that way, that we don't want to feel selfish. There are genuine needs, and there's nothing wrong with praying for the things that you need. But our heart also needs to be given to thinking about others, praying for others. And he says, praying in the Spirit. You know, sometimes when we try to pray, we just don't feel the Spirit. That happens. My recommendation when that happens is to keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Hold on. You know, one of the things that Satan does on a regular basis is to try to keep us from praying like we should. He also tries to keep us from reading the Word of God like we should. He also tries to keep us from praying for others like we should. You see all those things, his devices? We're not ignorant of his devices. Sometimes we are ignorant of his devices. Sometimes we're not thinking about it. So the more we apply ourselves to try to pray, see, because Satan's going to try to hinder us. And I'm going to have to say, he is successful many times. Oftentimes we hand him the victory on a silver platter. We give up quickly. Oh, may God help us to pray like we should. I tried to preach on prayer last Sunday. Quite frankly, I didn't feel much spirit. Now, maybe you got something out. Maybe I was just tired. But prayer is, the church needs it. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying for our services. We need to be praying for whatever it is that's happening in our life. We need to be praying and praying earnestly about it. And if God's people get to the point where they don't want to pray for those things, the church is in trouble. And so we need to give ourselves to earnest prayer, because the effectual and fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. There were things that happened that the disciples could not do. Remember the son that was a lunatic, that oftentimes the Spirit had cast him into the fire, and the man brought him to the disciples, and they tried to cast out the demon and could not. That happens. Do you know what Jesus said about it? Howbeit this cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. For some reason, and maybe it's so that the Lord will see, is maybe the Lord's testing us as to whether we're serious or not. But there are times when he will not answer until we've given it to much prayer and even fasting. And fasting is something that's not happening a whole lot nowadays. And I'm guilty. But when he said, howbeit this cometh not out but by prayer and fasting, there are times when we ask for something, it's going to take a lot more asking, it's going to take getting serious about it before the will of God is going to happen. That's serious. All of this armor that he's given us, and as good as all of it is, he ends it up by talking about the need, the great need for prayer. He says, with all prayer. What does he say? praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, there's some that are teaching nowadays that if you don't hold out faithful to the end, then you never were a child of God. And that's why I oftentimes will use the word preservation of the saints instead of perseverance, because of this clouding of the issue that some have used with perseverance. We should persevere. We should be faithful. We should be diligent. We should be fervent in praying. But we don't always do that. But we are preserved in Christ. And eternally we are safe in the blood of Christ. But we ought to persevere. And when we apply ourselves and serve Him faithfully and pray like we should, and we're earnest and fervent in our praying, and bless your hearts, we're persevering. And we need to do that. But that's not what saves us eternally. We're saved by the blood of Christ. So when Paul said, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, we have to be mindful of what's going on. And supplication for all saints. Now, time's gotten away. We need to close this up. Supplication. That's one point I want to make there at the end. Supplication for all saints. Perhaps we, at least sometimes, get into the habit of praying for our own little circle. There are people that we know, we may not think, now I hope we don't set in judgment, you know, I know there's a lot of folks seem like they want to do that, but it's up to God as to when He reveals Himself to somebody. We've talked a lot of times. The Apostle Paul, you know, when it was Saul of Tarsus, who would have thought that God would have used him in the church? When Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners, I'm persuaded, after many years of study, my persuasion of that is that the reason he said he was the chiefest of sinners is because nobody else alive in his day had persecuted the church any more than he had. And because of that, he felt to be the chiefest of sinners. But he says to pray for all saints. There are saints we don't even know. There are saints that we think there's not a chance that they are. Oh, may God help us to pray. God would bless His people. You know that prayer of Jabez, go read it sometime in the Old Testament. Prayer of Jabez. It's very similar to the model prayer that Jesus gave us in the New Testament. Keep us from the evil. Deliver us from the temptations. You know, all these things that we need to be praying for. May God help us to give attention to our prayer life. To give attention to, are we praying for all saints? Or are we just praying for our little circle? May God help us to understand how we need to be praying. May God help us to put this armor on. And having done all, stand. You know, there's a lot of things that we might want to try to accomplish. Elder Michael Goins told me a long time ago, God hasn't called us to be successful. He's called us to be faithful. If we can just be faithful to God with our affections, bless your hearts, He'll bless us in so many ways. Isn't that what He said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to us. If we seek Him first, pray, stand. God bless you is our prayer. Have a number you'd like to close with?